3-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager, that just happened. Thank you very much.
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome once again to the official podcast of the Seattle Mariners. Gary Hill back with you. And what was a wild, wild weekend for the Mariners, and what is the wild, wild west that is just back and forth. What a weekend, though, for the Mariners. We have so much to get to. This is a jam-packed podcast. I hope we can get to it all. It's just so much. We have three games to go over in Detroit, where the Mariners, of course, took two of three from the Tigers. Felix Hernandez, his streak comes to an end. Fireworks with an umpire we'll get into. And, of course, it is Monday, so as always, we'll have bullpen banter as well. Also get you the week that was, too, because it was, frankly, an awesome week for the Mariners. I mean, it's hard to beat a week where you only lose one ball game. And that's where the Mariners are right now. So all that is coming up on this edition of the podcast. Mariners win yesterday, so here's how things look, and they look pretty good when you look at it. The Mariners standing-wise in the West now 5.5 back entering play today. The Angels and Oakland in a dead heat in the division. They are tied. Just Angels by smallest percentage points actually ahead, but they are really tied. Mariners 5.5 back of both of those clubs for the division. You look at the wild card standings, the Mariners, they right now have the second wild card. Detroit a half game back, and then all of a sudden, there's some room. Yankees 3.5, Toronto 4, Cleveland 5, Tampa Bay 6.5 back. By the way, the Mariners too, with this recent surge, their run differential, they're pushed to plus 99, which is second best in baseball. Oakland, of course, first plus 161, but the Mariners plus 99. M's 8-2 in their past 10 games. Meanwhile, Oakland 3-7 in their past 10. They've lost 5 in a row. The Angels 5-5 in their past 10 ball games. In fact, you look since the trading deadline, and the Mariners have been one of the best teams in the game. The Mariners have most wins of any team in Major League Baseball since the All-Star break, tied with Washington, actually by percentage, they have the second best record. The Royals actually 13-3 have the best record since the trading deadline. The Mariners 11-4, second best record since the trading deadline. The Nationals 11-5, Baltimore, Milwaukee, San Diego, all with 10 wins apiece. And the pitching has just been phenomenal for the Mariners. How about a 1.89 ERA since the trading deadline for the M's? That is unbelievable. 26 walks to the staff and 115 punchouts. Opponents batting 216 against him. That is unreal. I mean, you know, we're at the middle of the month here. That's becoming quite a few games, and the staff has been really unreal. We've talked about it, though, offensively. How about this? The Mariners, since the trading deadline, 76 runs scored in 15 games. That's a touch over 5 runs a ball game. That amount of runs, that is fourth best in Major League Baseball. That is a great sign for the Mariners. Of course, we talked about the trading deadline. They turned that lineup over, replacing essentially a third of their order. So that's a trend, obviously. They'd like to keep cooking, and they did it again on Sunday, piling up the runs. But let's go back to Friday. Let's take this series slowly, piece by piece, as the Mariners, they go into a big series against Detroit. I mean, two teams battling it out. The Mariners playing well, but going on the road and playing one of the best teams in the American League. And they've been one of the best teams in the American League. So this was, despite Detroit having their struggles in the last couple of weeks, not an easy series coming in. They had Paxton on the hill against Porcello, who has been excellent this season going into Friday. And the Mariners, they got the offense cranked up early. They got the offense cranked up often in this one against Rick Porcello.
Winds and deals, and Cano swings and lifts it high to right field. Hunter moving back. Hunter looking up. This is staying fair, and it's gone.
Robinson Cano jumps on the first pitch, and Porcetto, the sinker baller, gives up his 13th homer of the season, Cano's 11th on the year. He extends the Mariners' lead. It's 4-0 Mariners on a club shot to right field.
Cano has been on fire, and more as we push through this season, he is playing at an MVP caliber level, and he's certainly going to be included in the top vote-getters. After this series, batting .332 with an on-base percentage of .400. His average is second best in the American League. His on-base percentage is second best in the American League. He's slugging .476 as well. That's in the top 15 in the American League. He has launched a whole bunch of doubles in this season so far. 28, that's 13th in the American League. His OPS right up there as well in the top 10 for all hitters in the American League. Cano is having a really, really nice season. MVP, I'd say top 5, top 7 at this point, you know, with a lot of season left to go, but that's where I'm putting him at. He's having that good of a season for the Mariners, and he just continued. Also having that good of a season for the M's, Kyle Seager. He came through in the first game of the series.
Pitch. Swinging a ground ball. Base hit through the right side. Here comes Cano rounding third, hitting home. Up of the ball is Hunter. The throw to the plate up the third baseline. Cano scores standing up. Races by the catcher, Brian Holliday. And the Mariners now lead 6-1 over the Tigers. Kyle Seager with an RBI single.
And Kyle Seager went to work all series as well. He now has 77 RBIs on the series. That's in the top 10 in the American League, which is even made more impressive by the fact that he really didn't get things going until April 23rd. And since then, batting .296 with all but one of those RBIs. So he spotted everyone a month, and he has surged back, and he has played great and been a big part of things for the Mariners all season long. So the Mariners take game one of the series against Detroit, which was huge. So 7-2 winners in game one. And then with Felix on the hill taking on David Price, you knew this one would be a beauty. But things didn't quite work out for the King for a few reasons. But his streak, 16 games of 7+, 2 runs or less, it had to come to an end at some point, although I was questioning whether it actually would or not. But it actually did come to an end on Saturday.
And we have learned tonight that Felix Hernandez is in fact human. It has come to an end. History has been stamped here in downtown Detroit. Felix is done after 5 innings, 92 pitches. And as we all know, all good things must come to an end. You just never thought that it would be tonight.
And it wasn't the runs that got him, gave up 2 earned, but the innings that got him, pitched 5 as the pitch count elevated for, well, I think anyone that watched the game, you can draw your own conclusions. You can go back to the tracer and really look at it because it's all there. The information's all there. But he was getting squeezed early on. Really no question about it. A guy with such pinpoint control all season long, especially during this streak. But, yeah, the pitches were there. Weren't getting called strikes. Pitch count elevated. Drew the attention of Lloyd McClendon, among others, including Felix Hernandez. Just a frustrating, frustrating day for the M's. Lloyd McClendon would get tossed in that one as well.
And now Lloyd McClendon has just been thrown out of the ballgame by Tony Randazzo. And here comes Lloyd out of the dugout, and he's going to get his money's worth right now. Lloyd was on Tony Randazzo. Felix Hernandez just missing some mighty, mighty close pitches. And Tony Randazzo just turned around there just a moment ago and just tossed Lloyd McClendon out of the dugout, out of the game. And now he's out of the dugout having a little chat with Randazzo. But Lloyd not very happy at all. He has been ejected from this game by the plate umpire, Tony Randazzo.
And here was Lloyd McClendon talking about it after the game. And, of course, it sets up what happened on Sunday as well.
Second inning, I mean, what got you the most frustrated? What were you most upset about in that second inning?
I was most upset because I got thrown out of the ball game. He thought it was me that was saying something. It wasn't me. So that would, you know, probably upset me more than anything. And then when I went out there to ask him why was I thrown out, he said, "Well, I've seen you act before," and I don't think that's called for. That's just not fair. You know, if you think I said something about a ball or strike, then throw me out of here. I get that, but to talk about past history, that's not fair. So, but it is what it is. And it's over with.
He you see Felix get frustrated as well that second inning?
I think he was to some extent. In my opinion, Felix is one of the best pitchers on the planet. And he's a strike thrower and he doesn't walk anybody. He's had 47 pitches in the second inning. That's kind of tough. But we move on. The Stars didn't align tonight. We just have to move on.
And the Mariners fall in Game 2 of the series on Saturday. And give credit to David Price. He was brilliant in that one. Really had no effect. The Mariners had no effect offensively on him. 4-2, Detroit gets the win. I thought Mike Blauer summed it up pretty well, and just the frustration level. Seeing it come to an end, I mean, you knew it would at some point, but just left kind of a bad taste in my mouth the way it kind of happened, because it felt like it was taken out of his hands. It wasn't like, a three-run jack gets hit off of him. And, it happens. He's going to give up a home run at some point, but it just felt like early on it was taken out of his hands, and that's the frustrating part. Here was Mike Blowers on exactly how it went down.
Felix Hernandez last night, only 5 innings, gave up 2 runs along the way. Didn't get a lot of strike calls from home plate umpire Tony Randazzo, but that ends the remarkable run of 16 consecutive starts where Felix has gone 7 or more innings, given up 2 runs or fewer, major league record. What about Felix Hernandez last night and what you've seen over the last couple of months?
Well, as far as last night goes, I think you have to put it squarely on Tony Randazzo, the home plate umpire. If you're not calling strikes a strike, I don't know what else you can do as a pitcher. And to see Felix with 49 pitches after the first 2 innings, I thought was a real shame. And what should have been just a tremendous pitching matchup, and to watch both of those guys. And David Price was terrific last night, which is what we expected from him. But I thought Felix had the opportunity to do that, but unfortunately – Randazzo just had a bad night behind the plate, and it cost him too many pitches. You have to think about the rest of the year. You have to think about moving forward. So he ended up getting pulled after 5 innings, still just 2 runs, against the best hitting offense in the American League. I thought was good. But moving past that, Rick, what a historic run. I was thinking about it after the game when it was finally over and Felix was out of the game. The run of 16 consecutive, passing Tom Seaver. It's been 43 years. 43 years Seaver was at the top of that list. Yeah. 43 years. Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it. A historic run. It was terrific to watch. I'm not going to be surprised if he doesn't bounce right back in his next outing and pick it up again. That's how good he is. But it was a lot of fun to watch, and I look forward to watching him the rest of the year, even with what went on last night. ERA still at a 1.99. We're starting to get close to September at this point. He's just had, I think, the best year that we certainly have seen from him. And I'm looking forward to watching him just continue to pitch these games that mean so much. I think that's when he's going to be at his best. And I really hope these guys, and I think that they will, I think that they'll end up getting into the postseason. And I want, because I just want to see Felix in that atmosphere, in that environment, and let the rest of the country, and I know he's popular and everybody knows who he is now, but to watch him in that environment I think would be something really special. And just what a tremendous year for him, and what he's having and what he's doing. And he's well out in front of the Cy Young Award. You may as well just write that one up. But he's so much fun to watch too. What an entertainer he is when he's out there. His will to win, his will to compete, is something that we haven't seen in quite a long time, probably since Randy Johnson, where you're just outwardly, here it is, right in front of your face, I'm coming after you, and I'm not backing down from anybody. He's been a lot of fun to watch.
1.99 ERA in the American League. It's a shame the streak had to come to an end under those circumstances.
But really, this is a streak to be celebrated. 16 games. I mean, he was invincible during that time frame. And we're going to go in-depth about it coming up on some podcasts as well, because I think it's truly special. I mean, it's history. It is baseball history that we watched. You're talking about Tom Seaver and Gaylord Perry. He smashed that record. I mean, he really did. And he's been tremendous in this stretch. His numbers are off the charts. And I think the end of the season, when we talk about him as a Cy Young Award candidate, as maybe an MVP candidate, depending on how he finishes, I mean, that's the kind of thing we talk about. And, of course, later on down the road when we talk about Hall of Fame, that's the kind of thing that we'll talk about, too. I mean, it's history that we watched what a stretch it was. And then after the game, he talked about it too. He said, well, it's just time to start a new one. I mean, it's just unbelievable. And we'll celebrate this, the actual streak more too coming up, because I think it is something to be celebrated and something to tip your cap to, because that was quite a run. Just disappointing with the way it went down on Saturday. But give credit to the M's, because they bounced back on Sunday. And this was big for this team, because you like the pitching matchup coming in. Yeah, rookie lefty on the hill for the Tigers. And then you had Chris Young, who has pitched essentially like the third ace of the staff on Sunday. And Young, once again, I mean, he just continues to be unbelievable. Teams cannot square him up. It's just fly ball pop-up after fly ball pop-up. And it was that way for Detroit. Once again, they could not figure out the veteran Chris Young.
The wind, the 1-1. Swinging, this is lofted high to center field. Shocking. As there is Austin Jackson, who waits forever. He reads half of a novel and now makes the catch. That ball hung up there for an eternity. And Young retires the side in order for the second time. Chris Young has spun six scoreless innings against the Detroit Tigers here at Comerica Park.
I swear the outfield could play a game, or on a pop fly like that, they could have all three outfielders converge right under the baseball. They have so much time to get there. I mean, those fly balls to center field, I think Ackley and Chavez or D'Onofrio, whoever's in right field, they have plenty of time to get over there and get under the ball as well. It's just cans of corn time after time after time. What I find the most amazing, too, coming out of this game is, you know, Young's ERA has dropped to 3.07 now on the season. That's 12th best in the American League, just behind Darvish, who's at 3.06, to put it in context. Here's what I find amazing. For Chris Young, his 3.07 starting ERA, that is the 11th best in Mariners franchise history. 11th best in history, yet third best on this particular pitching staff because of Felix and Iwakuma. Talk about history. There's some history right there. They're doing historic stuff in the rotation. Chris Young's 3.07 would lead the pitching staff in 30 different Mariners seasons, yet he's third on this staff. That is unbelievable. And Young, he came in with righties. I find this number to be amazing. Righties batting .181 against him, and then he just tied up righties in knots once again. Right-handed hitters have had no chance against Chris Young all season long. He continues to dominate in his own way. I mean, it's a very different way. It's a very unique way, but he continues to dominate and give the M's some great innings. He did once again against the Tigers on Sunday, and he got plenty of offensive backup.
The 1-2 pitch. Swing and a line drive deep into the gap in left center field. Carrera going back, won't get there. This one will go all the way to the wall. Here comes Seager running third. He will score. Heading for third is D'Onofrio. The throw in is cut off by the second baseman, Kinsler. No relay to third. Chris D'Onofrio with a two-out RBI triple, scoring Kyle Seager. And it's now the Mariners 4 and the Tigers nothing. What a shot by D'Onofrio. His third hit this afternoon and his first RBI as a Mariner. Here's the stretch and the 3-1 pitch. Swung on, well hit ball deep to right field. Martinez going back and this one is off the wall. Miller running third. He will score. Around to third goes Morales. The throw in is cut off by Kinsler to keep Kyle Seager to a long RBI single. And it's now the Mariners 8 and the Tigers nothing. And for Kyle Seager, his third run batted in this afternoon. 8-0, Mariners lead Detroit.
They had gone to win 8-1 as they grabbed the victory. Young was outstanding. Six shutout innings. Fans 4, gives up 4 hits. Does it on a crisp 99 pitches. Everybody into the act offensively. Jackson 2 hits, scored a run. What a return to Detroit for him. Cano a couple of hits, 3 runs scored, a walk. Morales 2 hits, Seager 2 hits, 3 RBIs. D'Onofrio 3 hits for the Mariners. Morrison a hit, Taylor a knock. I mean, it was all up and down the board for the M's. 13 hits as a team as they pound away Detroit 8-1, and they take the series 2-1.
The set by Medina and the 0-1. Swing and a ground ball to Miller at second. Over to second one. Taylor's relay to first in time for the double play. And this ball game is over. The Mariners win it 8-1 over the Tigers here in Detroit. They win the series 2-1. The Mariners have won 6 of their last 7. And once again, the Mariners leapfrog over the Tigers for that second wild card spot. They now have a half game lead over Detroit in the race for that wild card spot.
Yeah, there it is. And that was, you know, the big talk after the ball game. What a series. You know, they take 2 of 3 from Detroit. They keep the roll going. They go to Philly next, and we'll have a look at that in just a moment. But also plenty of talk about the umpiring situation as well. We detailed what happened on Saturday. Well, it happened again on Sunday as well, if you can believe it.
Sure looked like Randazzo threw somebody out of the ball game.
Well, not only did he throw him out once, it almost looked like he threw him out again. As if
there he goes,
whoever the subject was. And Lloyd's gone.
Lloyd, he just handed the lineup card to Trent Jewett. This is unbelievable. He number one, he can't hear what he said, you know, hardly, you know, from that distance way back there. And he threw him out of the ballgame.
That is incredible.
Yeah, it was incredible. McLennan tossed 2 games in a row by the same umpire. Tony Randazzo just chucks him as the third base umpire. McClendon in the dugout. Here's the explanation from the skipper, Lloyd McClendon, after the game.
Chris did a heck of a job for us once again. Chris threw a very tough lineup and did an extremely good job. Gave us 6 solid innings. And the offense scored some runs. And
it looked like he was scrambling at different times, but whenever he needed something.
Yeah, I thought his secondary stuff was real good today, particularly his slider. I thought he threw some real good sliders. Kept him off balance, pitched in a little bit. Wasn't his best stuff for today, but he certainly pitched.
Were you more surprised about today's ejection, how it happened as opposed to last night?
Well, really, there's not a lot to say on it. I mean, the incident and what happened speaks for itself. You know, you guys saw it, so you write what you want to write. There's no sense in me even commenting on it.
Well, not to go beyond that too much, but, you know, you've had past history with him in Pittsburgh and some stuff, too. Do you feel like this is a little unfair in that situation?
No, if I had history with him, I don't know anything about it. I really don't. I mean, I don't remember any history with him in particular. So if that's the case, maybe it is, but I don't know.
What did you see also from your guys at bats today? You talked about not having much of a book on Ray, and what did you see from him?
Well, I thought we had some real good at bats. We didn't try to do too much. We stayed in the middle of the field for the most part, shots and gaps, and very professional at bats today.
But I'm sorry not to go back too much, but you were ejected because what was the reason that was given to you?
He said I put my hand up. So
you're not allowed to do that?
I guess I'm not, so.
And yeah, so let's get back to that. The reason he was ejected was the hand waving, essentially, with the left hand. I tweeted out some helpful links because some GIFs are floating around of, you can just see exactly what happened is Avila is taking his trot to first base, and he really, with his left hand, just kind of waves. I mean, he's leaning back and, you know, it wasn't demonstrative, just waved with his left hand. And that was it. He got tossed for that. And again, I recommend checking it out for yourself. Take a look, and you can draw your own conclusions there about what you think happened. And you heard there Ryan Divish in the conversation mentioning an incident in Pittsburgh, and there was between Randazzo and Lloyd McClendon when he was the skipper of the Pittsburgh Pirates. It's going back a while. June 17th, 2005. I tweeted out this link as well if you want to take a look at this article. It was in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. And if you're not a Twitter person, you can email me, GaryHillPXP@gmail.com, and I can send you these links too, so you can grab it, take a look. But essentially, it was a story where Tony Randazzo missed a call, and the umpires admitted he missed a call, where New York Yankees' Gary Sheffield was safe on what should have been a game-ending double play. Yankees went on to tie the score, win the game 7-5 and 10 over the Pirates. And from what Lloyd McClendon said after the ball game, he talked about Randazzo glaring at him and things like that. You can read through the whole article. But, you know, there's clearly a situation that McLennan was not pleased about, and you know, talked about Randazzo staring at him and almost taunting him in a way. And, you know, that was a long time ago. You could hear Loy McLennan there talk about it. He doesn't remember, you know, history between them at all. We're talking 2005. It's nearly 10 years ago. But, again, I encourage you to look at the info, look at what happened, take into consideration what was said to Loyd McLennan yesterday about, you know, I've seen your act before, which I kind of find disturbing. But, you know, it just on the surface looks very personal from the umpire just in his actions. And I could only find in terms of ejections that he's only heaved skippers twice this year. Once was McLennan the night game and the day after was McLennan. So, again, I encourage you to draw your own conclusions. To me, it looks personal, and it's too bad because, you know, it's just a side plot for what was a great weekend for the Mariners, in my opinion. I mean, they take 2 of 3 from Detroit, and they keep the roll going. And what was a great weekend, aside from Felix, you know, not getting the record. Still, I think it's encouraging that the Mariners took 2 of 3 with Felix losing a game. But it's just too bad that we have to spend time talking about it. But I think it warrants it because – you know, the umpires are the ones policing the game, and it's important to have the integrity in that regard. So we'll see if anything comes out of it. If there's discipline, we usually don't hear about it, but we'll see what happens. But a lot of you were tweeting me during the ball game, especially at the tail end and in the post game show as well. If you have thoughts on it, feel free to volume at me at Gary Hill Jr. Very active yesterday, and I want to thank, in particular, Yaku Night Owl, who's the first one that dug up that article from the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Great follow at Yaku Night Owl, who we go to time to time for information. And they're fantastic on Twitter, so I highly recommend the follow there. Also, at @hot_corner15, the one that alerted me directly to, which I certainly appreciate. Sometimes, especially during the ball game, get busy, it's hard to follow everything that's going on, so I really appreciate that as well. So, that wraps up the umpire conversation for now. There's a couple of thoughts I want to get to after the ball game. And first of all, it was Chris Young talking after the game about the win and his performance in it.
We've got a great group of guys, and I think that they understand, we all understand, that it's one day at a time. We're not going to accomplish anything looking too far ahead in the future. We just got to come out and play. And Lloyd said it all along. He said, trust your talents. Come out and play the game the right way because you're good. You're a good team. And I think we're starting to believe in that.
People talk, you've been around with a lot of these guys, the major star guys, like they don't take themselves too seriously. Robbie's out there. He plays with a lot of joy, a lot of, you know, just kind of fun. Felix is in the dugout having fun. I mean, how important is that to keep guys loose?
I think it's a big part of it. I mean, there's a time to be intense, and there's a time to relax and have fun. I mean, that's the thing with baseball, is that you play 162 of them plus spring training. It's a long, long season. It's a grind, and so you can't let the highs get too high and the lows too low, and this group is great about that. We had a tough loss last night and bounced back today. The guys came out and just absolutely swung it, and I think that's characteristic of our club.
Take on a little bit extra coming off a loss. Do you see the opportunity to be a stopper there?
Not at all. I want to win regardless of what we did the night before. It's you know, those are external circumstances that really don't change how I prepare or how I go about it. I mean, I want to win every time out, whether we've won or lost the night before.
And Shannon Dreher after the ball game on the field as well with Kyle Seager, who drove in 3 runs.
You know, got to forget yesterday. Yesterday was a good game. You know, well-pitched game. We you know, got on the wrong side of it, but, you know, that happens. And, you know, good to score a couple runs for, you know, Chris tonight and let him take care of the rest.
Scored 8 runs today. And, you know, we're almost getting used to seeing these runs right now. You've got over 5 per game in the month of August. What do you see that is different?
You know, we're stringing things together. You know, we have a balanced lineup. We have a good lineup. And, you know, we have confidence in each other. And you know, it's starting to show up a little bit more. And, you know, we're playing a lot of confidence right now. Just keep going.
We saw that stringing together in the first inning. It's always great to get those early runs. You get up to the plate, there's already a run in, there are runners on. How does that change your job?
You know, Cano did a good job going first or third there for me, you know, on the base hit up the middle. And, you know, you already got a couple runs in. You know, you get a guy on third with, you know, less than 2 out. It's your job to get him in. And thankfully, you got it deep enough for them to score.
Hey, I got to ask you, you're over at third base. What the heck did you do to fire up Randazzo over there?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure about that one.
I think this is a big weekend as the Mariners take 2 of 3 for the reasons I said before. Not only moving, obviously, moving to the wild card spot and chasing that division leaders and just continuing to play well, but on the road, especially against a really good team. I was actually on a podcast yesterday as well, talking about it after the ball game, the Mariners Talk podcast with Mike McDonnell, and also Timothy Gardner was on there. And it was great to talk baseball with those guys. And Tim had a great call about the Detroit series with the Mariners, talking about it as a defining series this season with the Mariners so far. I think he was spot on about that, and it really, I know the excitement level is really starting to get cranked up now, and I could feel it at the end of that series after taking 2 of 3 from Detroit. And at least my read on it with interactions with you on Twitter and email, which I love all the time. You give me the pulse of this, which I really appreciate. But my read is the excitement level's really growing and growing and growing. And I think I'm reading that right. I mean, I think people are getting very excited about this team as we're in the middle of August and they are right there in the mix. Give me your read on the situation. Again, at Gary Hill Jr., GaryHillPXP@gmail.com. So here's what things look like for the M's starting tonight as they go to Philadelphia. So the Mariners and Phillies going at it. We've talked about the Mariners being one of the best teams since the trade deadline. Philadelphia Phillies, meanwhile, just 6-9 since the trade deadline. That's the 24th best record in baseball. Phillies, a team that has really struggled all season long. A team with a lot of familiar faces, especially in the lineup, a veteran team, but a team that's really starting to age and starting to show it. Dead last in the National League East, 54-70 on the season. They've lost a couple games in a row. Their run differential is minus 78 for the Phillies this year, 3-7 in their last 10 ball games. But, you know, it's still a team that you go on the road. I always say this, any team is tough to beat on the road. Any series is tough to get on the road, especially when you map out the pitching matchups. Because, you know, game one of the matchup, you've got Roenis Elias, who comes back after dazzling in Tacoma, 9-9, 4.14 ERA. He'll take on Jerome Williams, familiar foe, 0-0, 3.38 ERA. Of course, he's pitched in the AL West for some time now with the Phillies. So 4:05, first pitch today, 3 o'clock for the pregame show. On Tuesday, this is a good matchup. Hisashi Iwakuma, who's been sensational, 11-6, 2.72 ERA. A.J. Burnett, the veteran, is going to go for the Phillies. Hasn't been bad, 6-13, 4.35 ERA. And then Wednesday, this is a matchup of lefties. James Paxton and his 3-0 record and 2.20 ERA will take the hill against one of the best in the National League, Cole Hamels, 6-6, 2.44 ERA. And it's scenarios like this, when you really break it down, expecting a sweep is, especially on the road, I just don't think you can ever do it. Because you know, you're facing Cole Hamels in Game 3. I mean, it's... He spins a two-run gem. Chase Utley hits a three-run home run, and if you lost a ball game. But, you know, as I mentioned going in series, I think the expectation should be 2 of 3. I mean, that's what I talked about going in, and that's a good place to be. That means you're a good team. That means you're a legit good team when you're going into any road series and expecting to take 2 of 3. I think that's a giant step for this team, and I don't think that should be underrated. I mean, I think it was a big step to say, yes, expectations 2 of 3 going into Detroit, a team who has traditionally been one of the best in the American League. I think this is a step forward and a chance to take 2 of 3 in Philly. So we'll see what happens. I'm excited to see Elias on the hill, too, after dazzling in Tacoma. So Elias Williams, 4:05 first pitch, 3 o'clock for the pregame show. Make sure you join us. Should be a lot of fun. So to set up the Philadelphia series, it has been a tremendous week. So let's go through it. There were a lot of highlights, including thunder and lightning and everything else along the way. This is the week that was for the Seattle Mariners.
This is the week that was.
A look back on highlights and events of the Mariners' past week
on Mariners Magazine.
Dang's ready, the set, and the 2-2.
Woo!
Swing and a line drive down the left field line. A fair ball in toward the corner. This one will go all the way to the wall. Morrison will score. Taylor will score. Ronnie third. Sucre heading home. The throw cut off by Ramirez. The relay to the plate. Not in time. Austin Jackson clears the bases. And the 0-2 on the way. Swing and a miss. Strike three. And the ball game is over. Holy smokes. The Mariners hang on and win it. A final score of 4-2. Rodney shoots that arrow.
The 1-2 pitch right down the middle. Strike three called. 94-mile-an-hour flames from the King. And he is banging on all cylinders now.
Everything was there. I mean, they had a great curveball. Good command with the curveball. Fastball was there. Two-seam was there. And changeup was always there.
Totally ready. Barely the 1-2. Swing and a miss. A changeup that dazzled in there. A twist and turned at 90 miles an hour. Totally down on strikes. Felix has his eighth strikeout victim tonight.
You know, we found out firsthand, you know, why they call him the King and why, you know, he is as good as he is.
I feel our offense is starting to rumble a little bit. I think we got a run coming, and I feel real good about that. I feel good about the balance in the lineup. We got some professional hitters in that lineup. And I think we're going to get on a run here, and with our pitching, you know, it could be scary.
The 1-0, swinging a shove high down the left field line, has some carry, goes onto the warning track, goes, looking up, and this is gone! Opposite field homer by Robinson Cano. Fires away, Zunino swings, it's a high twister, has a lot of hang time, a lot of carry, Bautista runs out of room, it hits off the wall, it smacks right off the fence, Zunino pedals into second, here comes Seager, motors home around third, the throw not in time, Seager scores sliding in, Zunino to third.
The 2-2 Ackley swings, hits it right up the middle into center field for a base hit. Miller scores right behind him. Jackson, the throw airmailed up the line. Jackson scores standing. Ackley is in his second. The nail has entered the coffin. The Mariners are all over the Blue Jays. It's 8-1 in the bottom of the sixth.
Pitcher half swing, and this is blocked high to left field. It is high, it is deep, and there it goes. Kendrys Morales.
The 0-1 pitch, swinging a line drive into left field. Back of the ball is Ackley. Reaches up and he makes the catch on the run. Twisting, turning, Dustin Ackley makes the grab and this ball game is over.
Here's the pitch of the way. Swinging a drive deep to right field. Down the line. Going and going. Goodbye baseball. Kendrys Morales. Boy claps his hands twice. Wearing that dark navy blue Mariners hoodie. He takes the ball from Iwakuma, who exits to a standing ovation here at Safeco Field.
Yeah, I mean, they shut down our offense, you know, stone cold. You know, we scored a few last night, but it was pretty much a mismatch, you know. And then they get to the pen, you know, there's no let-up down there.
The 0-2 pitch to go. Swing and a miss. Strike three and a changeup. And this ball game is over. Rodney shoots that arrow high in the sky. And the Mariners sweep aside the Toronto Blue Jays. They win game three by a score of 2-0.
The landing American pal between the Lions.
Wines and deals. And Cano swings and lifts it high to right field. Hunter moving back. Hunter looking up. This is staying fair and it's gone. Robinson Cano jumps on the first pitch, and Porcetto, the sinker baller, gives up his 13th homer of the season, Cano's 11th on the year. He extends the Mariners' lead. It's 4-0 Mariners on a club shot to right field. Here's the throw to first. Taylor down to second. The throw down to second by Cabrera. The tag on Taylor. Here comes Miller on to score from third, and the Mariners steal home. Holy smokes, how about that? The Mariners steal home and now lead by a score of 7-2. Great timing by Miller taking off. The stretch by Danny delivers, swing, and a miss, strike three, and this ball game is over. The Mariners win it 7-2 over the Tigers tonight here in Detroit. And the Mariners jump over the Tigers, and they move into that second spot in the wild card race. And now, Lloyd McGlendon has just been thrown out of the ballgame by Tony Randazzo, and here comes Lloyd out of the dugout, and he's going to get his money's worth right now. And we have learned tonight that Felix Hernandez is, in fact, human. It has come to an end. History has been stamped here in downtown Detroit. Felix is done after 5 innings, 92 pitches. And as we all know, all good things must come to an end. You just never thought that it would be tonight.
There it was, the week that was. I have a lot of favorites in there. I think my favorite, though, might be Fernando Rodney shooting the Lions in Detroit with the arrow. I really enjoy that. So We turn now to Charlie Furbush and Bullpen Banter. This is a great one. Not only very entertaining as always, but very educational as well. We get an inside look at the video room this time around. This is good stuff. Here it is, time for Charlie Furbush, Bullpen Banter.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Back again. Another edition of Bullpen Banter today. Special guest is our video coordinator. Is that the title? Jimmy Hartley, how you doing, man?
That is correct. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. You know, you're behind the scenes quite a bit. You know, how long have you been doing this anyways? When you start doing the video coordinator here with the Mariners?
This is my fourth season with the Mariners.
Okay, and you started with the Rockies, I believe?
That's correct. I was there for five seasons. And
that makes you a huge Broncos fan, right?
Negative.
Negative?
No, they weren't very good whenever I lived there.
If anyone knew what his fantasy football team looked like last year, you would have said he's 100% a Broncos fan.
I was a big Broncos fan last year during fantasy season, yes.
Which brings me to our next point, fantasy football draft coming up. We like to do this every year with the Mariners. You're the lovely commissioner of our league. Do we have a team name or team fun name of the league?
I have not come up with a team name yet. I need to discuss that with Mr. Farquhar, who is my partner. We'll come up with something by draft time.
All right. And what pick in the draft you got?
We have the eighth pick this year.
Nice. Yeah, so instant replay has been, you know, just implemented into the game here. You're behind the scenes. You get to see so many camera angles. Do you feel a crazy rush of excitement every time that phone rings and you think there's a questionable play?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely has changed my job this year. And every time that phone rings, sometimes I'm thinking, what are they calling about? And they'll just be Hojo calling to see who's up in the pen. you never know what you're going to get on the other end of that phone line.
We had a nice little pivotal play last night in the game where, from the bullpen, I thought, let's challenge this. Glad to know on the inside you were on the same page. Did that take very long, a few angles to determine whether to challenge it or not?
No, I had it right away, the play at first base, and I told Trent that Lomo had got him with the tag, and then we also checked out the play at second to see if we had got him there, in case.
That was almost a discount double play in one play.
Correct.
Almost. So, yeah, I've actually seen you behind the scenes one time, go to work. We challenged a play, I think it was in Anaheim, and we failed. I was thinking you're 0-for-1. I don't know how good you are at this right now, but turns out you're pretty good. Those are tough plays late in the game or extra innings. You never know what to do. So who is the one guy on the team that is just all over the video, just loves checking out video of himself more than anything?
He's definitely a hitter. I'd say all the hitters.
Come on, there's going to be one that you did. It's just like, dude, why are you always in here?
Our friend Mr. Brad Miller's in there a lot.
Okay.
So, yeah, he's in there a lot. Mr. Seager is in there a lot.
Oh, all right.
And it's like, Seager, you're an all-star.
Yeah, what do you need to look at, man?
What are you checking out?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. You don't see me in there very often. The only time I'm in there is to charge my phone. That's pretty much it, right?
That is correct. Yeah. That's a daily occurrence.
Yeah, my phone's dying. Jimmy, can you charge it? Yeah, cool. Thanks, man. Have you been to every big league park now?
I have been. Atlanta this year was my 30th ballpark.
Wow. That's pretty cool, man. You got me beat. You got a favorite one in mind besides the two ones you work for?
I really like Minnesota. I think they did a good job on that park. And, I like ones that are downtown. You can walk to the ballpark from the hotel. And just overall, great clubhouse, great stadium.
Yeah, I think so, too. Brand new, opened a couple years ago. For me, if you had to ask me the question, not that you're interviewing me.
Right.
You used to work for Denver. I was a huge fan of Coors Field,
right.
Being up mile high. It's a great stadium, man.
I worked at two great ballparks, so I didn't want to say Safeco or Coors Field just because I worked there. So yeah. I'm a little biased to both, but
right.
they're both great ballparks.
Great ballparks, absolutely. Beginning of the game, you sit back, you watch the game. Do you have any TV shows going on the side, maybe catching up on some sitcoms? I mean, what are you doing in there in the first couple innings, if there's no place to be challenged?
No, I try to not watch any of my sitcoms until after the game, but we'll have other games from around the league on in the video room back home, and now football season we might have a game on.
Do you actually have any contact with the umpires in New York that look over video in terms of what you can and can't challenge, or do you know all the rules now?
I feel like I know all the rules. I don't have any contact with any umpires, but I can submit questions to MLB on anything that might come up.
Like the home plate rule, what do you think about that? It's pretty much full of gray area. I tend to see this play get called, oh, he caught it and tagged him. Oh, he's safe, but he's out. And then it's vice versa, Is there a Do you have any suggestions that we could implement to clean this rule up?
Yeah, I do have one suggestion. I was thinking, why don't you draw a line about 20 feet out from home plate, and if the runner has not crossed it yet, the catcher can be anywhere that they want.
That's genius. Well, would it be a different color line than the white lines we have?
No, you can keep it white.
Keep it white?
Yeah, it's kind of like the runner's lane to first base, you know.
We'll call it the Jimmy Hartley line.
Sounds great.
Yeah. Trademark. There it is, man. Well, there it is. Yeah, I think that's it's going to wrap it up, man. It's pretty good addition, getting the background of our Inside Scoop video coordinator. Get to see all the guys that just love looking at video of themselves more than anything. Enough of this jazz. We're going to wrap it up, and thanks for coming on the show, Jimmy.
Yeah, thanks again.
And you're going down to fantasy this year.
Doubt it.
All right, we'll catch you guys next week.